We're talking about Mrs. Vixman's 90th birthday, at which she was honored by the New York University Jewish Culture Foundation.
I have to prize this and take care of it. I have never hung it up.
With representatives from Hadassah and from many other organizations. And now she's showing me a plaque which was given to her in commemoration of this event. Would you like to read it for the tape recorder?
Oh, no, I don't want to read this.
10th of May, 1976, 10th ER 5736. This scroll is hereby presented to Mrs. Rachel Vixman to attest that an annual scholarship has been established in the Department of Hebrew Culture and Education at New York University as a testimonial to her devotion to the maximum standards of Jewish scholarship, her zealousness in the pursuit of Jewish learning and Jewish student activity, and her involvement in all aspects of Jewish life by a group of her friends and admirers of the Women's Division of the Jewish Culture Foundation of New York University. As representatives of this group, we hereby affix our signatures. Rose Lehmanstein, Chairman of the Board, Patricia Brody Romanoff, President, Nathan H. Winter, Professor, Chairman, Department of Hebrew Culture and Education.
Oh, my Lord.
Isn't that something? Terrific.
Don't you want some lunch?
No. Because of the pressures of time, we can't cover all of your activities. I would like to turn the clock back again to Pittsburgh and ask you for a few minutes to talk about Pittsburgh personalities, Pittsburgh institutions, outstanding people in Pittsburgh whom you remember. What do you remember about the way of life as a child? How did it change? You grew up, after all, you were born and grew up in Pittsburgh. Can you kind of recollect your feelings, thoughts?
When in Pittsburgh, I was honored by having Rabbi Lichter of the B'nai Israel urged me to take the presidency of the Women's League for Traditional Judaism, which was a combination of all the Orthodox and conservative sisterhoods. And so we had a splendid relationship in cooperation as far as all these groups were concerned.
How long did this last?
I don't know, a few years anyhow. I remember we entertained the rabbis of the conservative congregations who came to Pittsburgh for a convention. And they insisted on, and I had most of the arrangements to make or
were
to work with.
Were you affiliated with a synagogue at this time, with B'nai Israel or Beth Sholem or whatever?
Beth Sholem.
Oh, you were a member of Beth Sholem.
Yeah, I was
at the time.
One of the second president of the Beth Sholem Sisterhood in Pittsburgh. And they insisted on my coming up to the platform. And then embarrassed me by calling on me to speak. And I spoke for 2 minutes, and all I said was, if the leaders would only live up to the speaking that they do and practice what they preach, this would be a wonderful world.
I notice this theme repeats itself in your writings and in your talking.
At which...
The responsibilities of leadership...
At which every speaker following brought that into the talks. But to me, it was one of the most essential needs of the hour, integrity, justice. Because for what does the Lord require of thee but to do justice, to love mercy, to walk humbly with thy God? I was honored in Pittsburgh by Alfred C. Lehman, asking me to take the chairmanship of the Montefiore Hospital Organization.
Ladies Hospital Aid Society, yes.
And he said to me, you know, ordinarily the reform element will not work under an Orthodox leadership, but they will all work under you. And I was thankful that there was that spirit in the community. But I said to him, Mr. Lehman, you'll have no trouble getting a chairman for such an important campaign, because it's a great deal of honor and prestige to it. He had told me if I didn't accept it, he'd have to ask somebody from the reform element to take the leadership. But I said, Mrs. Henry Finkelpearl has been working for years as the president of the Hospital Ladies Aid Society, and it is due her, since she is a very capable person, to be asked to take the chairmanship of that campaign. Mm-hmm. And so they did. Mm-hmm. She became the chairman of that, and the whole United community worked for the Montefiore Hospital. We had some wonderful women who all became, in their time, leaders of the Conference of Jewish Women's Organizations.
Can you recall when that was founded? It seems to be a very old organization. Do you have some recollection of
I left Pittsburgh in 1929. I was, I think, its second president, so that Mrs. Charles Berger was the first. And
so it would be in the mid-20s.
In 1920, each one had 2 years, I think.
I see. So would have been around 1924 or 25.
Yeah.
Because that's a very prestigious and solid organization. Yeah.
And this conference had regular meetings at which the delegates from all the national, from all the local women's organizations were present, mm-hmm. so that the community, Jewishly, was welded together in a very fine way.
What were the relationships like among the various women's organizations? Because you knew all the leaders. For example, National Council of Jewish Women, Hadassah, Mizrahi Women, the Sisterhoods, and so on. What were the relationships like? Was it less tension than the men's organizations, more tensions, more friendship?
I would say that there was a very good relationship, because many of us belonged to 5 or 6 of the organizations in the city. In fact, we had to belong to almost everything, because if we wanted support, we had to give support.
I see.
And so we were all members of our sisterhoods. We were members of the Hadassah. We were part of the Hospital Ladies Aid Society. We were part of Council of Jewish Women.
Were you a member of the National Council of Jewish Women?
What?
Were you a member of the National
Council of Jewish Women in Pittsburgh?
You were?
Yes.
Oh.
As a matter of fact, I was a speaker for them on Council Sabbath, because I appreciated what Ms. Schoenfeld was doing with the outlying communities who had no rabbis.
You mean Miriam?
Miriam Schoenfeld. And I appreciated the fact that since there were no rabbis in those communities, she was conducting Sunday schools.
Yes.
In all the small towns outside of Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. and in western Pennsylvania.
Yes.
And I was one of their speakers on Council Sabbath as an admirer of their activity. Mm-hmm. At that time, they were non-Zionistic.
Yes.
And I am grateful and thankful to say that this organization, plus all the other reform organizations, since Israel has become a state, have all rendered remarkable support and taken important projects, so that we, except for a small remnant, there is unanimity in the support of all Jewry for Israel. We had a very friendly relationship with the Sisterhood of Road of Shalom, mm-hmm. the reform element of which mm-hmm. Stella Jackson was the president.
Was that Alexander Jackson's mother?
What?
Was that Alexander Jackson's mother?
I guess so. Is he a doctor?
No.
No, I don't know.
Daniel Jackson was the one who went to Palestine with the nurses. Yeah.
Well, this was Mrs. Jackson was the president at the time.
Could you tell me, please, and this is jumping to another topic, did you have help at home so that you were able to get out and do these things?
I had an English nurse, an English maid, who became my maid in the early years. And all the time that I was identified with the Women's League and Hadassah nationally and had to go out of town on speaking engagements, I rarely stayed longer than one evening. But I knew that my help was so competent and she was so wonderful that I could trust her. And all I had to say to her at times was, I'm bringing someone for dinner. Will you be good enough to arrange the dinner? And she would order and take care of all my needs.
She was living, a live-in maid?
Living with me.
All right, so where did you live after your marriage?
First in Oakland on Dawson Street, then on that little street, Tilbury, off of Forward, and then on Raleigh near Whiteman.
You lived on Raleigh Street?
Near Whiteman.
My street?
Two doors from the corner of Whiteman. And this maid was so wonderful.
Which side of the street?
That from the year...
I must ask you, which side of the street? Do you remember the even side or the odd side?
On the... as you go down, it would be on the left side. All the houses were more or less on the left side. It wasn't built up on both sides.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was on the other side.
It was towards the Beacon side.
Oh, yeah? No,
that's what I'm asking. Towards Beacon or towards Bartlett?
No, it was just like one side street.
Yes, but...
On the other side.
I'm just so curious. Did you know that I live on Raleigh Street?
No, I saw your address.
5528. Yeah. And you know who used to live there?
I must tell you about this maid.
Mrs. Blumenthal, you see.
She was so wonderful that when I came to New York to 1929.
And then from Raleigh Street you moved to New York. That was your last home before you moved to New York.
1929, moved to New York. This maid of mine was in touch with me till 1976 until she died.
Fantastic.
When she sent me cards for my birthday and cards for every holiday, and I remembered her and her family constantly at Christmas time. Mm-hmm. And to this day, her daughter, Miriam Colley, sends me greetings on my birthday and all holidays, and I am in constant touch with her.
Would you tell us, please, about the education of your children? Where did your children go to school?
Hunter College, when they were here in New York.
Well, they were born in Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
And when they were young, where did they go?
Belfield School. Everybody went to Belfield School, the whole 10 of them.
Wait a minute.
They were 8 and 14 years of age in Pittsburgh. Wait a minute. Not the Colfax, that's the high school.
The high school is Alderdice.
Alderdice. They went to the Alderdice school.
Well, and the little one went to Colfax?
Is that the school?
That's the elementary school.
Yeah.
Did they get a Jewish education, too?
They always had Hebrew lessons. And
right.
They went to the Sunday school and the Tree of Life. That's Pittsburgh, huh?
Yeah. You mean when you were living on Raleigh Street?
Yeah,
wait a minute.
You know, that's so long ago, I can't even remember. Living on Raleigh Street. No, by that time we were at Beth Shalom.
I see, because that's much closer, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. And so they went to Hebrew school.
That's Pittsburgh, yeah, Beth Shalom.
They went to Hebrew school at Beth Shalom.
Oh, yeah.
And would you say that
they were both
confirmed?
I don't know whether we had bas mitzvah that day or not, those times or not.
Was it Rabbi Goodman Rose, the rabbi then in Beth Shalom?
Yeah.
And looking at your daughter's, would you say they got the same kind of family background that you had as a child growing up, or different?
Well, they had more advantages than mm-hmm. we had in those days. But
they both went to college.
I will say this, that my life has been rich, not materially in later years when I came to New York, wasn't materially, but it has been rich in my activities and in the love of my children, my family and children. And the same is true even with my grandchildren. I get Valentine cards, I get mother's cards, I get birthday cards. They just don't know how to show me their love for me. And every letter ends. Now let me tell you one nice thing that is continued to this year. I told my husband at the time we were engaged that the word mitzvah was written in Genesis, I think. The Lord, when Jacob separated from Laban, the Lord watched between thee and me when we are absent from one another. And my husband was always very sentimental. So from that time on, the word mitzvah became a family word. And even today, if the grandchildren are writing to me...
Go on. I saw
if the grandchildren are writing to me, everyone ends the word mitzvah on the letter or telephone call.
Because it's from Genesis 31:49, it says, "Go thou thy way, and I go mine, apart yet not afar. Only a thin veil hangs between the pathways where we are. And God keeps watch between thee and me. This is my prayer. He looks thy way, he looketh mine, and keeps us near. I sigh sometimes to see thy face, but since this may not be, I'll leave thee to the care of him who cares for thee and me." Did your husband write this?
No, that appeared to explain that. And
there's no name of an author.
Well, somebody mailed it to me.
And you had it framed. How beautiful.
And this is what we, God keep watch between thee and me. This is my prayer.
That's beautiful.
What's above that?
That's just the scene from Venice. Oh, no.
Don't worry about it. Put it on the table. It has to come off anyhow. I didn't tell you that I was a consultant to the Yeshiva University of Women's
Organization. No, but I saw a plaque honoring you and a letter thanking you for your being a consultant to the Yeshiva University.
Look, won't you have some coffee or something?
No, because they're going to come in a minute. My final question to you, and you've answered it to a certain extent just now without my even asking you, is in looking back at your life, how would you sum up your very, very active career from a very young age, and you're still very actively involved?
Well, I have always said in my talks that far more than we did for organizations or for any group, those groups have done for us, because it has given us a richness of spirit we couldn't possibly have had if we hadn't served the organizations. So that no matter how much we did for them, we got more in return.